It takes more than talent to succeed. It takes the ability to handle success. Soul singer James Carr had more than enough talent to be one of the great voices of his time, but he also had demons holding him back. Ed Ward tells us the tragic story of a man for whom soul was not enough.
Hot just like fire, ever burning my eyes, just like the moonlight that forever shines. You are in my blood, so desirable. What a lovable girl, what a lovable girl.
When the soul singer James Carr died in January of 2001, a part of me was glad. Carr's long struggle with himself was finally over, and so were the many frustrations for his friend Roosevelt Jameson, who had devoted a large part of his life trying to prove to the world that James Carr was one of the greatest soul singers of all time. Few people, however, have ever heard of Carr, which is a shame, because probably the only male vocalist who was his equal was Otis Redding. Carr never had access to the Stax Records family of studio musicians and songwriters like Otis did, but he did just fine with what he had at hand.
These ain't raindrops in my eye, just look at me now. I've been crying because I love you. I wonder why can't you see?
Carr was born in 1942 in Coahoma, Mississippi, but his family soon moved to Memphis, where James started singing in church at the age of six. That's where Roosevelt Jameson, a budding songwriter, first saw him, and he knew he had to get this guy recorded. In 1963, Quinton Clonch, a white Memphis guitarist who'd recorded with Carl Perkins on Sun, started a soul label called Gold Wax to compete with Stax. And it was to his house that Jameson dragged James Carr one night. He played Clonch some demos he'd made with Carr, and Clonch called his lawyer and asked him to have a contract ready the next morning. They hit gold with their third single.
I said I wasn't gonna tell nobody else, but I just can't keep it low to myself now. For as long as I've been running around, I finally met a little girl that really got me down now. Got my mind messed up now. Little girl, you sure got my mind messed up now. I go to bed, Lord, and I can't sleep. Sit down at the table, ooh, Lord, I can't eat that. Somebody please, please help me now. Oh, 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 oh.
At the time, nobody realized quite how prophetic those lyrics were. They were too excited about another track that they had released as soon as You've Got My Mind Messed Up finally slid down the charts. It had been written by Carr's engineer, Chips Moman, and another white kid, Dan Penn, who wound up singing the harmony vocals on the chorus.
At the dark end of the street, that's where we always meet, hiding. Well, we don't belong, living in darkness to hide our wrong. You and me at the dark end of the street. You and me. I know time.
Amazingly, although the song went into the soul top 10, it fizzled as a pop hit in early 1967. Most people know it through Aretha Franklin's version, which wasn't even a single. Carr's, however, remains one of the most perfect soul records ever made, although several others of his come close.
You push me when I'm falling, and you kick me when I'm not. I guess I miss my calling,
cause I should have been a clown.
But after Dark End of the Street, the hits stopped coming. Carr himself was very unhappy with the fact that it hadn't done better, and this seemed to make the occasional spells of depression he'd always had seem worse. He began smoking a lot of pot and acting odd. He'd come to the studio, sit down, and not talk or move for a couple of hours, then suddenly stand up and deliver a masterpiece. Finally, Roosevelt Jameson turned Carr's management over to Phil Walden, who'd managed Otis Redding, and Quinton Clonch decided he'd release him from his record contract. Walden managed to get him one more single on Atlantic, but it wasn't very good and didn't go anywhere. What happened next? Nobody's quite sure. When a British fan interviewed him in 1987, Carr himself couldn't account for the years 1971 to 77, although he ended that period in a Florida jail where Jameson found him and got him on antidepressant medication. He also arranged for a Japanese tour, which ended when Carr took too much of his medication, walked on stage, and just stared at the lights. Carr rallied for a while, but after he had a cancerous lung removed in 1997, he stopped taking his medication again, and one of his sisters had him committed to a mental hospital. Finally, he moved to a nursing home and died, and his mind was no longer messed up.
Ed Ward lives in Berlin.